Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
After our Lord finished his work on earth, had been crucified, had been resurrected, he appeared to his apostles on a number of occasions during a period of about 40 days before his ascension back into heaven. And it was during that period of time that he gave what we speak of as the Great Commission. He was going to leave this earth and they were to carry on the work that he had started. These were men that had gone to school to Jesus. Brother Marshall Keeble used to say that they went to school to Jesus for 3 years. Well, they were being trained to carry on that work. I've often wondered how many times the Lord might have repeated the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission. How many times he might have said to his apostles during that period of time, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to take the gospel to all the world." Let me read it to you. You know this well. But it's recorded several times in the Scriptures, and it makes me wonder how many times he said it. But here's the way Mark records it, Matthew, in the 28th chapter of Matthew and the 16th verse beginning. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, 'All authority hath been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" It's recorded in slightly different words when you turn over to the 16th chapter of Mark, beginning in verse 15, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" And then on one other occasion, as recorded in Luke, the 24th chapter, Luke records it in these words, beginning with verse 46. "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Well, and one reason that I wanted to think about this tonight was because, obviously, I have it on my heart, believing in the 5th of February, Charles Webster, some others from the congregation, and other places will be going. But I just got to thinking tonight, even as it was mentioned in our prayer, how Andrew and Catherine Phillips are off preaching the gospel in Brazil. If I have ever seen a congregation on the face of this earth that was as involved in taking the gospel to other places in the world as this congregation, I cannot recall. I could spend the entire night that is allotted to me tonight speaking and calling the names of you brethren who have gone into various parts of the world, South America. I think about the great work that Jonathan, Hema have done in taking the gospel to Peru and South America and India. I think about those in this congregation who are involved in taking the gospel to the jails here. Could mention several. I often pick up the mail at the mailbox here at the building, and so many times about half of the mail that is delivered involves Bible correspondence courses that some of you diligently and faithfully grade and work with those people, send back to them in Bible correspondence. I think about all of the elders of this congregation, present and past, who have gone into the mission field, not just talked about it and send others, but have gone themselves. I think about so many of you who have been involved in that. And I'm thankful that we are a congregation who takes seriously what the Lord said to His apostles and in turn to us, to take the gospel. It's the power of God to take that gospel to every creature. Now, obviously, it's not the only commission that God ever gave. You can think of many of them. You look back through the Old Testament, the commission given to Noah, build the ark, commission to Moses, lead them out of Egypt, commission to Gideon, take 300 men and drive the army of the Amalekites out. The commission to Saul, go down and utterly destroy the Amalekites. On and on it goes. Commissions, great commissions, in, I'm sure, many ways. And yet they really all do fade into insignificance compared to what the Lord is asking us to do as individuals and as a congregation and as His church universal, of taking this gospel that He gave. One of the last things He's saying to His apostles before He leaves for the last time to return to heaven is this very commission. This is what I want you to do. Why is it so great? It is. We understand that it is. But do you give much thought as to why we would speak of it as the great commission when there are so many other commissions that have been given? One reason it's great is because all authority in heaven and on earth is behind this commission. If I were to give a commission, nobody would pay any attention to it. I don't have any authority. If the governor of the state were to make a law or a commission, or the legislatures were, then it would have some authority behind it. But we're talking about a commission that has all the authority, not of a state, not of a nation, but of heaven and earth. It is so powerful. It is so great. And it's a great commission also because it's universal in scope. When Moses was given a commission, it was to lead the Israelites out. It was primarily for them. There was a time when Jesus sent the 70 out on a commission, but they too were just to go to the Israelites. But not this commission. He said, go preach to every creature. And so this involves every tongue, every tribe of people who live on the face of this earth. Go preach to every creature, Jesus said. But there are other reasons why it's great. And I think why we're so involved in it and why we have a leadership that's willing to put so much into this, and why you are willing to give so generously that all of this work can go on in so many places in the world. And that's because it's great, because it announces the terms of eternal salvation. I've tried in times in my life to picture a man on death row. He's in the penitentiary. He's in that secluded, isolated area of the prison. Have to be a lot of thoughts going through his mind. When will the day come? Will there be any chance? I know I'm going to die. I'm going to be executed. And suddenly there comes a document from the governor of the state that pardons the man. Can you imagine how he would treasure that document? I've been pardoned. I'm going to live a few more years. But think about it. What the Lord is offering us here is eternal salvation. Eternal life. I can't compare. I can't really comprehend that. Can you? My old mother likes to read the Bible. Has reads it to herself. Did as long as she could. Can't really read it anymore because of her eyesight. And just last week I was sitting there with her and reading it. And we came across this part about eternal life. And she just stopped me. And she said, eternal. She knows she's near. Eternal life. Made me think. We're not talking about being pardoned from prison. We're talking about being pardoned from damning sins that would cause us to spend an eternity in a place that's described as fire and brimstone. It's a great commission that He's saying, go save people, teach them that they might be delivered from that kind of. Never in all the history and the annals of the world has there been anything like this statement, this document, as it were, that's been given for the benefit of the whole human race. Never been given a commission that is so far-reaching in power, so far-reaching in influence, so far-reaching in benefits for the human race as was this commission. Why? Well, it is the power of God to save. Romans 1:16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. The gospel. Why, Paul? Because it's God's power. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We might have chosen a different way of doing it, but God chose this way. And Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save them who believed. That's why Andrew is over on another part of the world. Why so many of you have gone into other parts of the world. Why we go into this community. I think about men like Glenn Kennard in the early days of this congregation who used to take a little film strip projector and the Jewel Miller film strips and taking the gospel in Colombia. And many of you were involved in that too in early days and perhaps in other ways doing it now. It's by the preaching of the gospel that men are taught about God. In John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. And therefore everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. It's that critical thing of teaching. It's not inherited, we know that. But somehow that impact, we've got to teach it. That's our responsibility. That's the commission. And I think about the old Apostle Paul. Well, I say old. Maybe he was a young man at the time he was doing this. But how God said to him, Saul, Paul, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. And I want you to turn them from darkness to light. And Paul, I want you to turn them from the devil to me. Here's the way he said it to Paul in Acts 26. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you've seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among all those who are sanctified in me. I think about when some of us are getting ready to make a trip to India or Peru or Brazil, wherever it may be. All the time we spend packing and unpacking and putting this in and that in and... But here's Paul with this commission. Go turn them from the devil to me. Go turn them from darkness to light. Turn them from idols to the living God. And if Paul had said, well, Lord, how am I going to do that? What kind of tools are you going to give me? All he had was the gospel. The same gospel that we have. The only instrument that Paul had was to take this gospel. And with that, he was going to, and he did, turn idolatrous people to the living God. With this gospel, he turned people from the darkness of sin to the light of salvation. With this gospel, he turned people from Satan to the living God and eternal life. And you and I have the same instrument. And so we take it to others. It's all he had. And when you read that commission, as you well know, every one of us here, I'm sure, could quote it. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And in Luke's record, he adds repentance. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It's always important to notice the order of the way things are said. And when Jesus was giving this commission to them and to us, he said, you take this, and those who believe it and are willing to repent of their sins and are baptized, they're going to be saved. Isn't it sad that men have changed that? I cannot understand. I really cannot fathom how people can read the Bible that is so plain and to rearrange it for their own ideas and the way they want it to. They teach that baptism is not a condition of salvation, that you really don't have to be baptized to be saved. And yet, that's just not in harmony with what the Lord said, is it, and what we've just read. Think about Peter preaching that first sermon on Pentecost. The people are crying out in belief, what are we to do now? We know we've crucified the Son of God. And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that is by his authority, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Couldn't be any plainer than that, could it? Or again, when the Lord appeared to Paul or Saul in Acts 22 in verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Or Galatians, when Paul was writing to the church at Galatia in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, to change God's order as he gave it to us in the commission is to pervert the gospel. And we're warned about that. Paul said in Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you're so quickly removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel. Only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be a curse. Well, we are a congregation who believe in the Great Commission. So many people here give that it might be carried out. So many of you go personally that it can be carried out. But what a responsibility that we not pervert it, that we not water it down just to appeal to people. But if we really care about the souls of people, we'll tell them just what the Lord said. I'm thankful the Lord has trusted us. I think it's one of the greatest honors we have, that Almighty God trusts us, that he allows us to be a partner with him in the saving of souls. May Graymere always be a congregation that loves the souls of mankind and that will do all it can, whether we're talking about at home or taking this commission into all the world. May God help us to do it. But you know, it's not enough for us to say, well, we need to be taking the gospel, but we need to be obeying it ourselves, living it, not just hearers of the word, not just talkers of the word, but doers of the word. That's what James tells us, isn't it? I know there's some here tonight, people that I love, and that I have prayed and hoped would obey the gospel. I don't have to necessarily do it in an assembly like this, but would just do what the Lord said. I know you believe in him. You're good people, good man, good woman. You live a good life. And you love the Lord, but you've never yet done what he says in the Great Commission. Don't you want to do it tonight? Is there any reason not to do it? You believe in him, turn from your sins, repent of them, confess Jesus' name, and be buried with him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. If there's anybody here tonight that needs to respond to that invitation or to come back to the Lord, this would be a wonderful time to do it. Would you come as we stand and sing?